you are truly good, and we are truly grateful. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, I pray that as we gather together today in your name, that the wind of the Holy Spirit will blow as strong or stronger on the inside than the wind on the outside. Lord, that we would not be distracted by anything blowing on the outside, but we would not miss what's going on the inside. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and shedding your blood on our behalf. Thank you for what that means. May we understand it fully. May you open up our understanding today to the power of the blood. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As we look at this topic today, I'll tell you that it could revolutionize the way you pray, and it could transform your life, understanding the power of the blood. You don't get what you want from God by begging or bargaining. How many of you have begged God and bargained with God? Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Lord, please, please, please. God doesn't respond to begging or bargaining. He responds to the blood. And when we grasp that, when we understand that, we'll quit whining and start winning. Amen. I want you to look with me to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. There's something that the Lord's turning the lights up on my understanding in regards to the blood. We need to always continue to come back to this. In fact, this is not just a come back as in once a year, have this as a topic of study. We should never leave this as a topic of study. When in the Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Covenant worship, we had the tabernacle and then later the temple. And as you would come into that complex, tabernacle or temple complex, as soon as you entered in through the gates, the first thing that you would encounter was an altar. And on that altar would be all the sacrifices. And then after the altar was called the laver. It was this giant bird bath filled with water. And after they had done the sacrifices, they would wash themselves. And then you were into the tabernacle or temple itself, the holy place and the holy of holies. You couldn't go in there unless you've been by the way of the altar or the laver. All the different sacrifices were, they're various types and for various purposes. By the way, they all pointed to Jesus and how that one sacrifice fulfilled all of the old covenant sacrifices. But because of the complexity of the blood of Christ and the greatness of the blood of Christ, it took a whole bunch of animal sacrifices to point to that one, to the cross. But it had to, no matter if it was a whole burnt offering, a trespass offering, a wave offering, a grain offering, you had to first go to the altar, and then you had to next go to the laver. You had to first go to the altar, which now in the new covenant represents the cross. Amen? And then the laver, the washing, represents what happened at the cross. It doesn't represent baptism, but it could. I mean, you could go there with that. But what it represents is at the cross, you got washed. Amen? You got cleansed. And so in every one of the sacrifices, you go to the altar and you go to the laver. You go to the cross and you're cleansed. That grants you access into the presence of the Lord. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, I preach a lot on body, soul, and spirit, and how you're a three-part person, body, soul, and spirit. And he says what is done in the physical actually affects that in the soul and in the spiritual. So the one thing that touches body, soul, and spirit's the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ affects body, soul, and spirit. And it is through the blood, even in the Old Testament, it was called atonement. Atonement. In the New Testament, the old covenant atonement has been transformed. I need you to catch this. This is good stuff right here. The Old Testament word atonement means to cover over. It means to cover over. And this is why they had to constantly do more and more offerings, because it would cover over and it never removed anything. It just covered over and then never removed anything. And it never transformed the individual. It just covered over. But then comes Jesus, and now his blood doesn't just atone, it is called remission. And there's an easy word that goes with remission, and that's remove. Amen. His blood removes our sin. Amen. And cleanses us and transforms us. And so we see this Old Testament, the Old Covenant picture of atonement, and that they were constantly having to drain more blood in order to atone. No one could get into the presence of God without blood sacrifice. Everything in the tabernacle and temple was made purified by the blood. There was a constant sprinkling of the blood. And the priests were constantly going from altar to altar, altar to altar. The altar of sacrifice to the altar of incense. They had to go back out to the blood in order to go in and pray. May our lives be just like that, that we continue going back to the cross, that our lives are like a wagon wheel hub, and the cross is the hub, and that we go from the cross. Amen? That everything we do goes from the strength of the cross. Recognizing our standing with God is because of the cross. That one message was good enough for Billy Graham to preach it his whole life. And there at the end of his ministry, what was he still preaching? The cross. And what was the message behind the cross? God loves you. And he still loves us, and it's still all about the cross. Amen. Well, I want to look in the New Covenant passage of Hebrews chapter 9 as it gives the connection from the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. There's a connection. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all." Amen. Aren't you glad that it was once for all? That we're not constantly having to go get another lamb and bring it up here. And you see, that's how it went. You went into the tabernacle complex with your sacrifice. And you could have come in empty-handed and did all the begging you wanted to do and all the bargaining you wanted to do. God doesn't respond to begging, and he doesn't respond to bargaining. There had to be the blood. And so now Jesus comes with the better blood, and he comes as the high priest himself, who is able to take the blood into the Holy of Holies, his own blood into the Holy of Holies, and then make access for us into the most holy place. Verse 12 again, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, once for all, having obtained redemption." Amen? Not just atonement, we've been redeemed. Amen? "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer," we covered that Wednesday night a couple of weeks ago, "sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Amen. Not only did he make us acceptable to enter into the presence of God physically, it didn't just cover over. It's not atonement. It's redemption. It is spiritually we've been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here in that condition. You come to Christ. Come to the cross, recognizing that he died for your sins because he loves you so much. And he wants to save you, wash you clean, even cleanse your conscience. Amen. Cleanse everything. Chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness," everybody say boldness, "to enter the holiest," the Holy of Holies, "by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil," that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and that sprinkling refers to the blood, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. I don't know how you just wasn't shouting hallelujah all the way through that passage of scripture. I mean, that is so good. So good. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us, Sand Springs, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. No doubts, not doubting, not timid. I am bought by the blood, and I could confidently enter into his presence. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with the blood from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's cleansed you if you've been by the way of the cross. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. What is the wavering? Doubt. Doubt is wavering. But you should come before him with confidence if you know you've been by the cross. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, it's not in your goodness, it's in his. It is not in your faithfulness, it's in his. And so when your faith wavers, come back to the cross and remind yourself, no, I've been by the way of the cross, and it is going to be the hub of my life, and everything I do comes from my relationship with Jesus Christ and the cross. Paul says, we don't preach cleverness, we just preach Jesus and him crucified. Amen. So I want to look now at Colossians. So by the blood, we've been made pure. By the blood, we've been made pure. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all of the fullness should dwell. In Jesus Christ, all of the fullness of God dwelt. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, Jesus, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. So we've been made pure by the blood, and because we've been made pure, now we have peace with God. It pleased God that we've been made pure, and that there is now a reconciliation of peace through the blood of the cross. I'm gonna read verse 20 again. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him. In case you didn't catch the by him the first time, it says it again. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus and not about you. He did it. He did it for you. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. This is good news, y'all. This is why it's called the gospel. Amen. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Amen. Has anyone ever said that of you? Oh, they are above reproach. Some of y'all laughing like, not even close. I was at our deer camp one day. I wasn't planning on saying this in my sermon, but story time. Get ready. We was at our deer camp one day, and I pull up. It was midweek or something, and there were two ladies that walked up to the truck, and I knew one of them, and I knew who the other one was. And the one that I did know, her son was in my youth group. I was a youth pastor at the time. And the other one starts hitting on me. and she said, oh, do you come out here often? I feel like I know you from somewhere. And her friend is just dying 1,000 deaths. She's over there saying, he's our youth pastor. And then she said to the lady, she said, "No, you have not seen him at coal miners. No, you don't know him that way." She said, "He is above reproach." I wish that were true. It was true that she had not seen me at coal miners. And it was true that she didn't know me like that. But have you ever been claimed to be above reproach? Now, how about God says, "That one is holy. That one is pure. That one is above reproach." For God to declare that over you, what must happen? You got to go by way of the cross. You got to be covered by the blood. Amen. The blood makes us above reproach. He doesn't look at your bargaining. He doesn't look at your begging. He looks to see if you've been covered in the blood. Amen. And then when he sees that you've been covered in the blood, he recognizes the sacrifice for your sin has already been made. And the judgment for your sin. See, all sin has to be paid for. All sin has to be paid for. If you're here today and you've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that should be the most frightening thing you've heard all day. That all sin has to be paid for. But if you're here and you're a child of God, the greatest thing you've ever heard in your entire life is that all of your sins has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Amen. Colossians chapter 2. In him. Everybody say, in him. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made without hands, but putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God and raising him from the dead. You were raised also. So here's the deal. You were, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I have been crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. And now I'm seated with him in the heavenly places." Amen. And so that is you too, child of God. If you've come by the way of the cross and you've been crucified with him, you were buried with him, that old fleshly nature should have died at the cross. Now, I know there's a constant struggle, and that's a whole soul issue that continues, but the spiritual aspect is true. It's true. And you were raised with him, and now you're seated with him in heavenly places. And now it gives you a whole new perspective on how you see things. And now you can enter into his presence with confidence. Verse 13, this is where I meant to go. "And you, being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Amen. It gets gooder. Verse 14. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." What you're reading there is this, these are legal terms. These are legal terms. There were accusations written against you. And do you know who the accuser is? The devil. And so he has these accusations that he has written against you. But when you have gone by the way of the cross, those penalties are paid for. Amen. I want to read the final verse, verse 15. "Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." Amen. Amen. Let me just give you a little Old Testament picture of what happened. As Brother Jeff was sharing with us about Passover and there, how in Egypt, how the Lord used the blood of the lamb to rescue the nation out of bondage. He got them out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of them. And so what we're seeing here, not only is their deliverance, but also when they come across the Red Sea, think about the Red Sea. When they come across the Red Sea, they come to an impossible situation. The Lord opens it up, passes them through. It's a picture of salvation. How they went, Jesus went down in the grave and rose up again. Amen. He went down into the earth and rose up out of the grave. And you and your salvation, that's a picture of that as well. You went down into the grave and you rose up a new person. Amen. And so not only, that's a picture of salvation in itself, the Red Sea crossing, picture of salvation. But then what happened after they come out of the Red Sea? Do y'all remember the next part? Then the pursuing army was in it when the water came crashing down. And they were able to look back and see all the floating corpses of the Egyptian army that used to chase them, that used to beat them, that used to make them their slaves. All of those floating bodies are washing up against the bank. He made a public spectacle of them. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary said, all of those demons that used to haunt you, all of those accusations that used to pursue you, all of that slavery and bondage that you used to be under, it has been wiped away because of the cross. You're free never to go back again. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I don't know about y'all, but that messed my hair up out there. That's when it's really windy. Verse 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, oh, this is good, y'all. You who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Amen. You've been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. There's that word again, who has made both one and the reconciliation and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just say this. The access that we've been granted, it is not by performance. It is by payment. Marinate on that for a second. Means it's not based on us and how good we are and what we do, and it's based on payment. Jesus' blood paid our access, paid the way. It's by payment. He has paid the way for our access to our Heavenly Father. He has made us pure, he has granted us peace, and he has paid our access. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We're talking spiritual terms now. We're still here in Athens, Texas. But in spiritual terms, you've entered into a whole new elevation. To Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, in an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. I love these phrases. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Hope you're registered. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So the Bible has, When learning how to study those scriptures, there's this law of first mention. And so we see in the scripture, and that law of first mention, everything after that comes from, there's meaning in that law of first mention. Where is the first time we see the blood of a human being shed? It is when Cain killed his brother Abel. And God the Father comes to Cain and says, where's your brother? And Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? How am I supposed to know? He's talking to omniscient God. And God says, I want to use my phrase for a second. Boy, boy, the blood of your brother cries out from the ground. Cain had killed his brother Abel, and God says his blood cries out. The blood of your brother cries out from the ground. What did Abel's blood cry out? Abel's blood spoke vengeance. His blood, he's crying out for vengeance. He demands vengeance. The blood, this has been wrong. I was killed by my brother, and so his blood demands vengeance. And here God comes around in Hebrews 12, 24, and it says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. What does Jesus' blood speak? It declares a verdict. I need you to catch this. Abel's blood, it's crying out, vengeance. And what is he saying? Do something. And Jesus' blood yet says, done. Done. Amen. It speaks a better thing. His blood says, done. I've completed it. All sin's penalty has been paid for. It's been done. It's complete. I want to finish with an illustration. When I was in London, England, I was at, that big church, Westminster Abbey. And I saw the grave of Dr. David Livingstone. When I first started going to Christian school, they made me read a book. Every month or so, I had to read a book. First time I read a whole book. And I read Dr. David Livingstone. And there was a journalist from America tasked with the task of going and finding this Scottish missionary in the deep, dark jungles of Africa. And so Henry Stanley is going through and looking for Dr. Livingstone. Well, these people had never seen a white man before, and it got pretty sketchy in some places, and trying to fight for his life and out of resources and really struggling to make it through these jungles of Africa. Henry Stanley comes across this tribe, and they could have killed him. And there was this stressful situation, but instead, Stanley had a goat. And the chief of that tribe wanted that goat. That goat was Stanley's ongoing source of food, and as it was a milk goat. And so it eventually, if it had to be, it would become a meat goat. You know what I'm talking about? That chief wanted that goat. And rather than kill Stanley and take his goat, he made a covenant with him. I need you to understand how a covenant works with God. And this is about the best illustration I could find. That African chief said, or king, however you want to look at it, said, I'll make a covenant with you. And so he took the goat. And he gave Stanley a sword. Stanley first thought he was ripped off. Like, what am I going to do with the sword? I'm way outnumbered anyway. He said, man, that's not a good trait. Until he came into another scrape and these tribes came out against him, and all he could do was show the sword. And when he showed the sword, they start bowing down. They start bowing down. You see, it was a perfect picture of now he has been in a covenant relationship with the king. And that covenant relationship with the king granted him access through the deepest, darkest, craziest, wildest parts of the jungles of this world. And he was granted access because of the covenant. He had a sign of the covenant. When you came into relationship with Jesus Christ, you said, all I got is me. And this is what I'm relying on to get through this world. And he says, I'll take it. But now, in exchange, I'm going to give you me. And by the way of the blood, we are in covenant with Jesus Christ. We're in covenant with God the Father. And all we keep holding up is the cross. It's already been paid for. I'm in covenant. And all of the enemies that you have, all of the hosts of hell that want to come out against you, when you just declare the blood, when you just declare the blood, all they can do is submit. Amen. All they can do is say, I can't do anything with that. He's in covenant with the Most High God. Amen. In the covenant good, the blood covenant with Jesus Christ. Too many Christians treat the blood of Jesus like a historical event, but it's a present legal force. The blood of Jesus enforces victory and shuts down the enemy's accusations. Amen. Satan operates in accusation. The blood serves as a legal witness that provides a verdict of resolution. It removes Satan's right to accuse, but also cleanses the conscience of the believer. And this is voice activated. How many times have I got to say, open your mouth? When you pray, open your mouth. This covenant is voice activated. My final verse and we'll close. Stand with me as I read it. Revelation chapter 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Speaking of Satan, the dragon, they were fighting against the dragon. How did they defeat him? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Amen. By the word of their testimony. It's a voice-activated covenant. You got to open your mouth and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's how you get into the covenant. And then after you're in, you don't revert back to begging and bargaining. You continue forward by just proclaiming the blood. I've been by way of the cross. I've been changed. I've been cleansed. I've been made at peace with God. And now I'm in covenant relationship with the Most High God, who says he will fight on my behalf. You know why they would bow down when Henry showed them the sword? Well, because he was strong, but that king was. They said, if he's in covenant with the king, we can't stand against that guy. And when the hosts of hell come out against you with all those accusations, you just hold up the cross. And I've been by way of the cross. And I'm in covenant relationship. I'm in a blood covenant with the Most High God. And the enemy says, I got to back off to that. When it comes to begging and bargaining, he'll just bring more accusation. When it comes to the blood, he backs off. Father God, thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you came on our behalf on a rescue mission. You were looking to save us. And you endured the cross, despising the shame, but for the joy set before you, you went on our behalf. And we're your joy. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can live by the blood with the authority of Jesus Christ on our lives. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. In that name we pray. Amen. Amen. Prayer team, would you come forward? As our prayer team comes forward, we invite you also to come forward. Maybe you're here and you have not come into covenant relationship with God yet. It's voice activated. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You'll be saved. Come and share that with somebody. Maybe there's other areas in your life that you've been begging and bargaining. You've been whining, thinking that God, if you just get so broken and yielded, yes, broken and yielded is one thing, but faith is something in which you come with boldness and confidence. Broken and yielded in that I have nothing on my own that can sway God one way or the other. But I do have this. I have the blood of Christ on my life. And when he sees the blood, he responds. When we proclaim the blood, he moves. Maybe you want to come and share with our prayer team what you're praying and believing with. Don't come whining to our team. Let me just help y'all out, team. Let me help y'all out, team. Y'all don't come whining to them. Whining will get you nowhere with God. And they'll respond to you because they're kind people. They love you. But it won't get you anywhere with God. You know what does? Faith, boldness. I've been by the way of the cross. I've been covered in the blood. So Lord, I'm calling upon you, believing that you will fix my situation. That's a different way of praying, isn't it? That's a better way to pray. And when you come and pray with them, believing that he will fix your situation, and they join their faith with your faith, oh my goodness, get ready. God's gonna move on your part. Amen. As we sing, you move.